Hey, what's up, guys? I'm super excited because this message is all about real change, what that really looks like. If you want a new year and a new you, watch this.
Today, I want to talk about new year, new you, because a lot of times people have this excitement about like, oh, I want to set some new goals and plans and dreams and have these new intentions. I got a new calendar and all this great stuff, but you can have all that, but God doesn't want you just to turn over a new leaf. He wants you to turn over a new life. So how is that possible? How can we really see lasting change, not just the typical, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds change, but rather real change that truly transforms us? That's what God wants for you and me. So I want to unpack that today. I'm excited about today's message. And of course, I'm excited about the new series we're going into next week as well about breaking mental strongholds. But if you don't have the Church Unlimited app, I want to encourage you to download it because all the notes I'm going to talk to you about today are on that app. You can just simply go to the sermon, click on it. It populates it. Then you can even fill in the blanks with us. And if you miss one, click download, and it populates all the answers for you, too. So now I just taught you how you can cheat. You can have all the answers. If you already have the app, turn to the person next to you and say, I'm more spiritual than you. Just let them know right now. You already have the app. That's great. Please get that. Let's get started talking about new year, new you. First of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor Dupree, who preached last week for me, did a great job. Let's give it up for Dupree. Great word. Loved it. I was texting him and just talking about how much I love the message. I love the 12 stones of remembrance. It was a powerful word. If you haven't heard it, please go online and check it out. You will love it. You'll also know that our students are in good hands. We've got some great student pastors at all of our campuses, including Dupree, who does a great job. So thankful for him, Pastor Joe, the whole bunch. They do a great job. Let's look at our first scripture today. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Another translation says a new creation. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. So God is not simply interested in you tweaking you. He actually wants to make us a brand new person. Did you know all of the cells inside your body are renewing every day? Did you know that? You literally have a new body in a matter of time because all the cells in you are renewing. Praise God, right? So what would happen if we began to work with that renewal we're getting biologically, if we begin to work with that spiritually, emotionally, mentally, great things can happen. So I want to give you four principles today on how you can actually have a true new year and a new you this year. And so let's talk about that. The first thing is this. It says in Romans 12:2, let God transform you into a new person by, so how do we do this? By changing the way you think. This is why next week is such an important series we're doing about breaking mental strongholds, because you've got to break off those things that you're stuck in, those mental mindsets that lock you in. Guys, I need to let you know something. You actually don't see the world as it is. You see the world as you are. So if the world's going to get better, your mindset has to get better. See, we could give you a new marriage, new family, new job, new door opening, new opportunity, but if the old you goes into all that, it'll mess it up. And so we have to have a new you. We can actually, but if we just change your mind, you don't need to change your marriage or your family or your job or your career or your church or your zip code. You'll have a new you. You'll have a new life because you have a new mindset. Your mind makes everything good or bad. It really does. It makes everything better or worse. And so I just want to challenge you to begin to think differently. It says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. Again, next week, we're going to really unpack this, but I'm just laying the groundwork today to know this. Number one, lasting change is always an inside job. It's always an inside job. You have to change the way you think about whatever it is you are facing. Problems get fixed because you think about the problem differently. Marriage is improved because you think about your spouse differently. Your job gets better because you get better mentally, and then eventually your job improves, your performance improves, everything changes based upon how you think. And so we really want to unpack that next week. Be sure to be here for that for the entire series starting next week. Now let's talk about the next step in really making lasting change. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, throw off your old sinful nature. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. So something has to go away and something has to replace it. Did you catch that? And it says this, Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So you got evil here. God says, take the good, put it right on top of it, right? So what this tells me is this, you actually, listen, you don't break bad habits, you replace them. Write that down. You don't break bad habits, you replace them. So if you ever seen those books that say like, you know, don't eat this, eat that, right? don't think this, think that. So I want to encourage you that you have to replace the bad habit with something good. If you're in the habit of always being up late at night with extra hours and time on your hands, bad things probably happen in that time. It's when we order bad food, when we watch bad shows, stuff like that. How do you replace that? How about getting up earlier in the morning? Replace late night with early morning, right? And then guess what? You're tired at night. You want to go to bed because you got up early, right? And so, you know, you replace it. If you're always eating the wrong foods, you're not going to change eating bad foods until you have good foods that are ready and available to snack on, right? And so whatever it is you're trying to fix or replace, you got to replace it with something else. And so, and let me just tell you this too. When you have big spaces of time in your life is when bad habits continue. And so what I'm trying to tell you is if you get busy doing the good things you want in your life, you don't have time to do the bad. It's not that I'm just so good. I'm just busy doing good stuff, so I don't have time to do bad. If I had a lot of time on my hands, I'd probably do bad. Isn't it interesting that if you look at the zip codes and neighborhoods where people have high levels of unemployment, shouldn't those houses be cleaner and the lawns be better since they have all that time on their hands? But actually, the lawns are terrible. The houses are falling apart. The people who are busy have the nice neighborhoods with the houses that are well-trimmed and kept up. Isn't that funny how that works? So when you have less time on your hands, you don't have time to do stupid. But when you got lots of time, you got time to do stupid. Does that make sense to somebody today? Fill your time with good things. So this will really make a difference in your life. And so just want to challenge you that you have to replace the bad habit with something good. This really is a game changer. In fact, by the way, some of you right now are trying to do that already because you're here at church. We're full today at almost every service. And so that means you're trying to start your year off right. Give yourself a hand. You are in church the first Sunday of the year. That's great. Praise God. Check. Right? Good job. It feels good to do the right thing. And now, let me just say this, though. The challenge is, much like our church is full, so are the health clubs. But 3 weeks from now, what's the health club going to look like? Where all the people go, right? Same with church, right? So what this means is what? The people who go to the health club consistently, guess what they do differently? They meet someone there. Oh, that would make me go. Because, you know, if I'm going just for me, I'm like, I don't feel like it today. But if it's like, oh man, I told Bob I was going to meet him there, and if I'm not there, who's going to spot him? Who's going to be there to encourage him? You know, like he's counting on me, I'm counting on him. So now I got to show up. So if you really want to make church consistent in your life, sign up to serve. Because now you're like, I got to be there. Someone's got to greet the front door. Someone's got to clear the stage in production. Someone's got to help with the children's ministry. And so I signed up for it. I got to be there. And the best way is to sign up your whole family. Because now you're going to have a teenager saying, Mom, Dad, get up. We got to go. We signed up to serve. And so it puts you in a position to where you're not coming to church to get something. You're coming to church to give something. Amen. And when you do that, now people are counting on you. Did you know, I've noticed something. The stats tell us that 80% of high school students that are attending church, when they go off to college, 80% no longer attend. 80%. That's really high. And yet they went to church the whole time with their family. The difference of the students that continue to go to church are those who are serving at their church. Then they want to find a place to serve at their new church in their new town where they're going to college. Does that make sense? So if your student is going to youth group, great. Probably won't continue unless they're serving in the church. So plug them in to serving, and that way when they go off to college, wherever they go, they will go to a church. And that is the difference maker for those of you going off to college. Does that make sense? So serving makes a difference. It gets you plugged in. It causes you to come every single week. There's consistency with that. So I encourage you to replace the habit of simply coming to church to get something, to replace it with, I'm going to come to church to give something, to give of my time, give of my energy, to make a difference. It really is a game changer. So you don't just break bad habits, you replace them. I want to stop real quick because something I want to do, I want to start a new habit. For the next few months, you're going to be hearing a little bit, of just like a little minute thing I'm going to do in every sermon, sharing vision of who we are as a church. I just want to remind you, for those of you who've been here a long time, it's easy to kind of forget what we're all about. Those of you who are brand new, maybe don't know this stuff. So I just want to mention something. I used to say this a lot when my church was very young and we were sort of establishing who we are as a church, how we're going to be a little different. Have you ever been to a church where you went to service and you came in the parking lot, came in, did church, left, and no one talked to you the entire time? Have you ever been in church like that? Did you go back? Of course not, right? And so one of the keys to our church growing as large as it has is that you people are really friendly. That's a great thing. But I want to put this in place. It's easy to turn friendliness inward and just find the people you know. So you're still friendly, but visitors don't feel friendly, feel like you're friendly because you're not talking to them, you're talking to everyone else. So I want to challenge you with what I call the 2-minute rule, that after every small group, after every meeting, after every church service, that for, as soon as we dismiss, as soon as you say you're to church, everyone screams back unlimited, for 2 minutes, go find someone you don't know and introduce yourself. Let's practice right now. Everyone stand to your feet for the next 2 minutes. Go find someone you don't know and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and introduce yourself. Find someone you don't know. Don't go to people you already know. Go to someone you do not know right now and shake their hand. Introduce yourself. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Come on, Padre Island. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Come on, Portland. You're friendly. I know you are. Come on, Rockport, Fulton. Be friendly. Come on, Stone Oak, the friendliest church in San Antonio. Shake someone's hand you don't know. Come on, Rodfield. Shake someone's hand you don't know. Come on, Broadcast. There you go. Introduce yourself. Introduce yourself. Someone online needs to type in the text. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Who are you? Where are you watching from? To introduce ourselves to people we don't know. Awesome. All right. You may be seated. Thank you. People are entirely too friendly. I love it. So that's what we're going to start doing. At the end of every service, meet someone you don't know. Now, when you go up, don't say, are you new here? Because they may be in here longer than you. So don't do that. They'll be like, what are you talking about? I've been here 20 years. You know. So just introduce yourself. Say, I don't think I've met you yet. My name is so-and-so. Just introduce yourself, okay? So if you'll do that, we'll be the friendliest church, which I think we are a great friendly church. Aren't you glad for a church that's friendly? Come on. Who doesn't want that, right? So let's keep that up. What's our church all about? Our church is all about reaching people who are running towards hell, right? That they are parting their brains out, doing everything else, and we grab them by the ankle and say, oh, no, you don't. God loves you, and he's got a plan for you, and we pull them back. That's what Church Unlimited is all about. That's what we do. So guys, listen, we're a discipleship church. We believe in growing you deep into your faith and really walking in full maturity of Christ. The only difference between our church and another church wanting to do that is that we start with a more raw product. We are willing to reach people who are far from God and pull them in close to God. That's what we do here at Church Unlimited. That's what we're all about. That's what we do. Thank you. Appreciate that. So if you're keeping up with me, number one, lasting change is always an inside job. Number two, you don't break bad habits. You replace them. And number three, I want to challenge you to practice biblical goal setting. Now, this is important, not just goal setting, but biblical goal setting. There's all kinds of books and audios you can watch and podcasts that you can, you know, listen to about goal setting, but this is different. Biblical goal setting is different. Check this out. It says in Proverbs 16, it says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. So your goals may not even change that much. It's who you're doing it for that makes the difference. And so commit your actions to the Lord. Habakkuk says this in Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision and make it plain. I love that. You know, Habakkuk, by the way, Habakkuk chapter 1, there's a lot of complaining. He's just like, Lord, why is all this happening and the world's a mess? And why is it that good people, you know, get hurt and bad people get somehow succeed? You know, and he's frustrated. He's like, why is the world such a mess and everything's chaotic and this is crazy, right? You wake up one day and suddenly the Venezuelan president's somehow in our country and going to jail. What's going on? I don't understand. And so just all the kind of craziness, right? And so he's like, it's just wild. I don't know what's going to happen next, right? And so what he's saying is, like, this is nuts. Did you know the name Habakkuk literally means get a grip? Isn't that cool? It means get a grip. It means embrace. It means take your hand, get a grip, grip on something, right? And so Habakkuk says, you know, the world's crazy. And then the next chapter was to say, God, give me a vision. Ah, that's the key. Guys, you can either get lost in the chaos and focus on what everyone else is doing, or you can say, God, why am I here? Why am I here in this earth? So you embrace God, and then you embrace the vision he gives you. Get a grip. How do you get a grip on life? Say, God, why am I here? Why did you put me on this earth in this season of the world, in this moment in history? God, you have a plan for my life. I want to grab hold of you and grab hold of your plan. Get a grip. Does that make sense? Your life takes on new meaning when you get out of the chaos of all that's going on in the world and say, God, in the midst of all this, I want to serve you. I want to do what you called me to do with my life. If you'll do that, great things happen. That's how you get a grip. You Habakkuk your life. Write the vision. Make it plain is what he says in Habakkuk chapter 2. Make it plain means make it really clear what you're about. So here's the difference between secular goal planning, which means non-God goal planning, right? Non-Christian We just say, what do I want? That's what goal setting tells you to do, right? But no, God goal setting says this, Lord, what do you want to do through me? Now, a lot of the times the goals aren't that different. I mean, you're like, well, some of you are like, well, Pastor, I feel kind of bad because I have this really ambitious drive in me to make a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with that. It's what you do with the money that matters, right? Make as much money as you want. Great. What are you doing with it all? Is it all about you? Or are you making a difference in the world with some of that, right? Not all of it, but some of it, right? God says, hey, a portion of it belongs to me in my house. And then beyond that, you give offerings to make a difference. You offer to make a difference, right? And so there's nothing wrong with having ambition like that. Maybe you're like, well, I want to be first chair in the band. I want to be, you know, starting, cornerback or whatever. Great. Who are you going to do it for? Is it for you? Are you going to use all that local high school fame to serve yourself or to point people to Jesus? Does that make sense? So a lot of times the goals don't change, but it's the why that makes a difference. But if you get the right why, you include God in it. Now God gets behind it. Amen. That's when great things can really happen in your life. In fact, it says it this way in Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. I want to break this down. We'll say it slow because I think this is where we miss it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's stop right there. Do you really do that? Now, let me just challenge you real quick. Could it be the reason we don't ask God about our goals? Could it be because we really somehow have this secret lie that we believe that maybe God's plans aren't as good as mine? How many of us secretly kind of believe that? Where are my singles at? Well, I mean, I could date like God wants me to, but, you know, I kind of feel like I can do a better job. Really?
Single?
Yeah, there you go. All right. Have a seat. You're excited, I know. Can I challenge you with this right now? Look. Listen, stay here. Look here. Can I challenge you, singles? How's that worked out for you? So could it be that God has a better plan and a better way to get it done? I want to challenge you to think differently about this. Could it be that we actually believe a lie that says God created the whole world, he created you, he created your family, he created everything you see around you, but somehow he can't do big plans for you? That's insane. You know, well, I'm not sure if he has my best interest in mind. Well, he sent his son to die for you. Could there be a greater evidence of his love for you? So then we need to trust him that his plans are better than ours. So now that we know that, let me read the scripture to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. He'll show you what he wants for your future, and then write that down, make a goal of it, and go towards it. Man. Now, I want to tell you another thing. I wrote a book years ago. I believe so much in this. I wrote a book about this called Today is a Day. And this is not a shameless plug, I promise. But I want to tell you a story that I wrote about in my book called Today is a Day. And the story is a true story from 1979. It's an older story, but it's true. 1979, they asked all the MBA graduates of Harvard University. This is not a regular university. This is Harvard. This is like the top of the top of the top. And they said, all the master's degree students, this is like the top of the top of the top. All of the master's degree students, the MBA, Master of Business Administration, all the graduates said, hey, other than just whatever you want to do for the summer, now we're getting out of school, do you have any goals and are they written down? Those are two questions they asked them. What they found was this. They found that 3% of the Harvard MBA students had goals written down. Only 3%. 13% of the students that were questioned about this said they had goals, but they had not written them down. And everyone else had no goals. They found these students 10 years later, and this is what they found out. 1989, they studied them later. They found out that the 13% of students that had goals, but had not written them down, on average were earning twice the income of everyone else. But here's the shocking thing. The 3% that had goals and had written them down were earning more than the 97% other students combined. I think we should maybe write down our goals. That sounds like a good plan? Maybe we should actually get clear about what we're about, write it down, and then make a plan to achieve it. Incredible things can happen in your life if you will get this simple point. Brian Tracy, one of my favorite authors, I love how he puts it. He puts it, success, this is what he says. Success comes down to goal setting. Everything else is just commentary. Wow. It's really that simple. Guys, don't complicate this. What is God putting on your heart? Write it down. Make it clear. Start moving towards it. If you will do this, everything in your life can truly change. Practice biblical goal setting. I promise it can change. And then let me just say this real quick too before I say this last point. I want to give you a principle I want you to apply this week. Okay? Write this down. The principle is act as if. Act as if. It says in Ephesians 4, put on the new self. So what that means is, you see, here's the thing. We know from a spiritual standpoint, you're a new person in Christ, but your brain doesn't know that yet. So here's how you get your brain to catch up with the spiritual reality, okay? Here's how you do that. So I need you to get the emotional reality to catch up with the spiritual reality because you still think you're the old you doing the old stuff, okay? So I want you to act as if you're new. Act as if you're forgiven because you are. Act as if you're in love with your spouse because you are, you just don't feel it most of the time. So act as if you're in love. We know you love them, but how about act as if you're in love? Oh, that's different, isn't it? So you can love someone and still be grumpy, right? But if you act in love, then you can be nice. Then you can be kind. You can think about them, open their door and tell them how nice they look and all that kind of stuff, right? And so act in love. So act as if you're in love. How about this? Go to school. Students, those of you are like, man, my grades were terrible last year. Well, this year they can be different. Here's what you need to do. Act as if you're smart. Man. Yeah, but I'm not smart. I understand. I'm not either. Act as if you are. So here's what I finally learned to do. When I went to school, I acted as if I was a smart student, and I sat in the front. And I thought, well, the smart students do. Oh, they listen. And well, oh, they also take notes. And you know, also they ask questions. So I began to ask questions. Guess what? My grades went up. It was like, oh, my gosh, someone actually thinks I'm smart. This is really weird. Like, I've got this professor fooled because I know I'm not smart, but now they think I am. And my grades went up. Isn't that crazy? Suddenly I was making the right dean's list and not the wrong dean's list. I was always on the dean's list, just normally it was the wrong one. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? I acted as if I was smart, and guess what? I became smart. I acted as if I was responsible. I became responsible. I act as if I'm in love, and then I fall in love again. Isn't that crazy? Because here's the thing. Emotion follows motion. We keep going, I'll go to church when I feel like going to church. And you're never going to go. I'm going to go to the gym when I feel like going to the gym. No, when you go to the gym, halfway through working out, you go, oh, now I feel good. But if you didn't go to the gym until you felt like going, you'd never go. I mean, let's be honest. This morning when you get up at church, you're like, do I go? Do I not? Right? And you're like, oh, I'm going to go. And then you walk in, you're like, hi, how you doing? Yeah, Jesus loves you. Yeah, good to see you. And you sit down, and you're like, oh, man. All of a sudden, the band starts singing. You're like, okay, who's Mr. Happy on stage singing? Okay, let's all, okay. And then by the end of the message, you're like, oh, I felt great. And I actually got something out of that, right? And so your emotions followed your motion. In other words, you got to act as if you're glad to be here, and you'll be glad to be here. Amen. Act as if you're in love with God, because you do love God. You just don't feel in love most of the time. But I'm going to raise my hand and praise him anyways. Bible says to sow in tears. That means even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to sow good things in my life until I feel it. Act as if. I'm going to act as if I'm smart. I know guys in high school that acted as if they were good looking and they weren't. And they'd always get the pretty girl. And I was like, how in the world? You guys know what I'm talking about. And you look at the guy and it starts working on you. You're like, maybe he is good looking. Maybe I don't see it. Because he believes it, he's almost got me believing it. I'm like, I don't know how in the world, how that happened, you know? And some girl's like, oh, he's just the greatest. I'm like, him? Like, are we talking about the same guy? It's amazing, right? But they believe it, and it works for them. Act as if you have confidence, and you'll walk with confidence, and you'll have confidence. Act as if you have a career job, and you won't just look at your dead-end job. You'll look and realize, oh, I can go somewhere with this job. I can build from here. Act as if you're succeeding, and you will. Act as if. If you just walk out of here with that one principle today, think about how your life could change. Amen. Just do that for the next 7 days and then come back here and let's talk about mental strongholds. But just act as if. And the last thing I want to share with you is this. Number four, you can't become a new you without releasing the old you. You can't become a new you without releasing the old you. It says this in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You know what? People often say, shame on you. And I wanted you to know that God is saying to you today, no, shame off you. Isn't that good? Therefore, there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I love this. It goes on saying, Isaiah 43, it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. It says in James 1, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart. So today, I'm planting a new word in your heart that God's planting in your heart that says what? I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm not condemned. And so shame off of you. Do you know when you carry around shame for what you did last week, last year, or even last night, did you know what you're really saying to God? You're saying, God, your cross wasn't enough. That's what you're saying, but it was enough. Jesus even said from the cross, he said, it is finished. He said, it's complete. I have covered all of your sin. You are completely forgiven. It is a new day in Christ. Shame off of you. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I don't want to challenge you. I want to show you something today. Would you stand to your feet? Would you do that? I want to take an old Puritan prayer and just adjust it a little bit for you today. Here's what I want you to do. Take your hands, put it in front of you. And I want you to say right now to God, God, I give you my shame. Just give it to him right now. Silently, you can even tell him what it is. You don't say it out loud, but you say, I give you this stupid thing I did. I'm sorry, God, I just give it to you. I'm tired of feeling guilty. I give you my shame for what I did, where I've been, who I've been with. I give it to you. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my bad attitude. God, I give you those stupid words I said that hurt someone. I give you my resentment. I give you my anger. I give you my lack of trust. I give you my frustrations. I give you that bad habit, that lustful thought. I give you that sin that's just haunting me. I'll tell you with your hands given to God right now, you're saying, God, I love you and I believe what you say about me. Can I tell you, you're not what you did. You're also not what was done to you. You're not. Give it to him. Give it to God right now. Just give it to him. And now, look right here. Look at me real quick. I want you to take your hands like this and I want you to say, now, I receive who you say I am. I receive it. Pull it in close. Ladies, God says, you're already beautiful. Pull that in. I am beautiful. No shots needed, no makeovers needed, no new clothes are needed, no surgeries needed. I'm already beautiful, pulled in. Thank you, God. I'm made in your image. I'm already beautiful. Men, look right here. I want you to pull this in. I am strong. I'm strong enough to say no to temptation. I have your power. I'm strong enough to do the right thing even when it's hard. I can do hard things. Pull that in. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I give you my shame. I receive your strength. I give you my guilt. I receive your mercy. Thank you, God. Today is a new day. And I, in Christ, am a new creation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God sent his own son, Jesus, to die for you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you can receive him right now. God gave his son, and now you can embrace him and take him in. Pray this prayer. You can say this out loud with us across all of our campuses. Just say, dear Jesus, I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Every head bowed, every eye closed with all of our campuses. If you just gave your life to Christ, would you hold your hand high right now? Right now, with all of our campuses, just hold your hand high. Hold your hand high. If you just gave your life to Christ, would you do that? Just hold your hand high. Praise God. If you just prayed the prayer, just gave your life to Jesus, we see your hands right now. Rodfield, thank you. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. God's moving right now here at broadcast. Praise God. Hold those hands high all the way in the back. Thank you, Padre Island. Thank you, Rockport. Thank you, Portland. Praise God. Our prison ministry, hold those hands high. Praise God. Gave your life to Jesus today. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, God, that we are completely forgiven. Shame is off of us, and your love and grace is on us. We pull you in, God. Help us now to live as you say we are. Thank you, God, that you say we are loved, we are forgiven, we are made new. And this is a new year, God. Make us new, Lord. We want to walk with you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true.